But I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah. Chapter 40, please. Verse 31. You might say that's a familiar scripture to you. I'm glad to hear that, but sure is. Sure is. Praise God. Isaiah 40, 31, it says this. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The book of Isaiah was written by the prophet Isaiah. This great book, Isaiah, bears the name of a great prophet that God used to prophesy to the nation of Israel. This book was written probably around 800 years before Christ ever came upon the scene as far as the incarnation of Christ. That means actually him walking in bodily form upon the earth. So 800 years before, they think he started preaching from what they could see when he was about 15 years of age, this prophet. And he died at the age of 85 years of age. They called him the millennial prophet. And the reason they did that was because his prophecies were concerning the coming grand day that we all are looking for, that millennial time. He prophesied about it for many, many times. Also, Isaiah was quoted by Christ more than any other prophet. Can you imagine? Any other prophet. Jesus Christ, when he walked upon the earth, quoted Isaiah the prophet many times. Many times. When he got up, he started quoting the scriptures. It was from Isaiah in the synagogue. It was from Isaiah in the synagogue. That's the kind of God we serve, that will go back and take these scriptures from the Old Testament and bring it around about for us today. Look, God is a great God, people. There's no limits upon God and what God can do. We limit him. We limit him sometimes by our faith, by what we believe or what we can see in the natural. And hey, look, we've all been there. we need God to take off those veils and to see the truth of what's happening around about this town and around the Dominion Parish. What God is doing in the hearts and lives of the people. How God is moving. Yes, we see all kind of evil. Yes, we see all kind of things maybe that aren't good. But let me tell you, God says he's looking for a people that will humble themselves before him and pray and seek his face. You know why? Because as we humble ourselves and seek his face, the power of Almighty God comes in a church. The power of Almighty God comes in a home. The power of Almighty God comes upon the father. The power of Almighty God comes upon the mothers and the children. And the power of God is evident. Amen. You see people getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. The power of God moving upon a generation of people. We need this generation to be touched by God, to be touched by a living God like never before. People, it's going to take us to pray and seek God and say, Lord, we need a touch from you, Lord. I bet you there's people out there in South Korea that are saying, Lord, send us somebody. I'm telling you. And God will use whoever he wants to use to send them. And you let the Spirit of God use you. You let God move through you. Sitting at the table or wherever you at, let the Spirit of God move. People, God is wanting to move. Let him move through us. Let him move through the preaching. Let him move through your life. Let him move through your home. Go around your home and declare that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, that he can do whatever he desires to do. He can take whatever we have and use it for his glory. That's his preference, whatever he wants to do. We are the children of the living God. Let the living God live through you and I to touch the people that are out there like never before. They're looking for something that's real. They have felt the faith. They've seen the faith. They're looking for something that's real with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's give it to them. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The power of Almighty God. We constantly encourage you as sons and daughters of the living God to seek Him. To seek Him. Take that time. Take that time to seek Him. Take that time to know your God. Take that time to say, Father, what do you want to do? Prayer. Pray. You might say, well, Pastor, how long should I pray? Look, I've often said, God never said how long. But basically, He just said, pray. He gave us a model of prayer. He said, this is how you should pray. This is a good model. You know, whatever. But He said to pray in the Spirit of the Lord, to pray in tongues, to pray with the language that you and I know. You see? So we stand in the gap between the Father, you know, and the generation of that is here today. And asking God, we can go before God and we can ask Him for things. We can ask Him for the souls of our families. And we know that's the will of the Lord. We know God wants to bring salvation. That's why Jesus died upon the cross, to bring salvation to humanity. Nothing else. Nothing else. But salvation to humanity through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to read our Bibles, people. Get that in our hearts. Get that in our spirits. You might say, Pastor, you say that often. I do, because I want to make sure this is the path that God has given us. This is the word of Almighty God. There's no other word except His. There's no other book that comes close to the word of God. Even though it's anointed by the Spirit of God, a lot of books, there's still no book like this book. There's still no book that is alive that was written thousands of years ago. First book they believe was Job. Thousands of years ago, yet still alive today as we read it in 2019, that we can read it and get it in our spirit and it becomes alive to us, people. That's the power of Almighty God. That can transform a person's life and make them into something. That can transform a man's life or a woman's life and give them hope. Give them life. John 10:10. I know that's, you know that scripture. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But let me tell you, I don't like that part so much, but I like the second part where Christ says, I've come to give you life and that you will have it more abundantly. Lord, give us life and that we can have it more abundantly. My God, there's only life in Christ. Only life in Him. The power of Almighty God. We don't read just for knowledge, which is okay, the Word of God, but also to get to know the God of the Bible. Yeah. To get to know the God of the Bible. As we wait on Him, we're binding and twisting ourselves with Him. We're binding and twisting, as the scripture says, the comment says, we begin to take on His characteristics in our lives, because we are desirous, we desire to carry out His will. Every time as Christians, every day, as we read His word, and we read it not out of condemnation, we don't read His word because we feel guilty, we read His word because we love Him. And you want to know the God of the Bible. You ever felt condemned because you didn't read enough? Well, don't feel condemned. If you didn't read enough, the conviction of the Holy Spirit will be upon us. And you didn't read some more. God will never condemn His people. Mm-hmm. He's a God that loves us and cares about us. He'll convict us. But as we read that word, as we pray and we seek the Father, and as we read His word, we become like, we twist ourselves with Him. It's like, you know, when we have dough of some kind, you know, you're making dough, or you can make cinnamon rolls, or whatever you're making. And, you know, whatever, you know, like, they'll show bread being made, and how they twist that bread some, you know, You know, I've seen it on TV where, you know, it's like a braided bread. That's what it's called, braided. You know, like you braid your hair, braided bread. God wants us to be braided with Him. Ooh.
Wow.
That as we seek Him, as we honor Him, as we read His Word, as we do what we know to do, the Christian things, that we become braided with Him. We're not outside of Him. We're with Him. And we take on His characteristics. We take on who He is, the God of the Bible. We take on who He is, how He functions, what He likes, what He dislikes, because we're braided with Him. That's why the world doesn't understand us. That's why the world doesn't understand that we hate abortion.
Come on.
Huh? You read the latest things? Horror. Horror. So glad people are rising up in politics about that stuff.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
You see, anytime something's done underneath, nobody knows, no life. Thank you, Lord, it's been brought to life. Thank you, Lord. Every life is important. Every life, no matter what, no matter how it was conceived, it's important to God. From the youngest to the oldest. That we stand firm and we, you know, we are against abortion. No matter what, at any time, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. The world doesn't understand that. They say, well, it's just a ball of flesh, you know, a little bit. Get rid of it, you know, and you don't have to worry about it, you know, next year, whatever. It's free. But they don't realize the entanglements of the enemy. How he comes in and he entangles that woman and entangles that young man and destroys their life. But God gives hope. God is the hope giver. God is the hope giver. Let us entwine ourselves with the things of God. In the things of God, people. In the things of God. In the scripture it says, I think it's Acts, it talks about Paul and Silas. For time's sake, I know it's a little. Paul and Silas. Preaching the gospel. As they were preaching the gospel, this little damsel, the girl, and she was saying, man, this is God's people. This is God's people. This is God's people. Just they all kind of, they were walking just preaching the gospel. And this little girl had a divination spirit used by her owner to do all kind of evil things. And Paul and Silas, they were just walking, and she kept saying, this is God's people. This is God's people. And they knew something wasn't right. See, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Paul and Silas had spent some time in the Spirit of God cooking them on the inside, saying, this is not right. This is not of me. Watch, be careful about people that praise you too much. Be careful. Paul turned around and had enough. He turned and cast that spirit out of that girl. Uh-oh! And look, when he did that, her owner was upset. Because that was the cash cow for him. Money. All goes back to money. Money! Money. The love of money. He cast that thing out of her. And she couldn't do those things anymore of evil. And these religious people, that owner got so upset with Paul and Silas. And he got them thrown in jail. Doing what is correct doesn't mean that you will hire the hog. Doing what is correct means that you please the Father. You see, we're not here just to do our own thing. all of us are here to please the Father. Because what? The scripture says that we're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. As some have in the latter days or the last days. See, we can't do that. We've got to come together. There's strength in number. There's strength in the power of God. And they're in that jail. I think it's verse 24, 25. It says, all of a sudden, Paul and Silas, they're there in chains. In the inner jail. Inner cell. And they just start singing. Not just singing, oh Joe Blow down the road, you know. But they start singing the praises of God. And that's a lesson for us to learn. Not everything in life is hunky-dory all the time. Huh? Not everything, but let me tell you, everything in life, though, our God is with us. That's the difference. Paul and Silas, as they are chained, not knowing what will happen, they didn't know they'd be killed. Destroyed them in bondage, they start singing the praises of their God. There's something about worship. There's something about saying, Father, it doesn't matter what has happened in my home. It does not matter what has happened on my job. It does not matter what has happened in our families, extended family, whatever, tragedies and whatever. I will still worship you. I will still praise you. I will still honor you. Let me tell you, that's a lesson for us to learn, that we are to never give up on our God, what God can do. That it may look dark, it may look dim, and it may look like a hurricane is coming forth on our way, the thunderstorms are rising up, the rain is just pouring down, and everything might be destroyed. But let me tell you, God can open up in an instant those clouds of darkness, and the sun can shine in. That's Odin can shine in. That's the power of Almighty God, people. Amen. He can make a dark place light in an instant. He can change a situation in an instant. That's the power of Almighty God, people. And as they worship Him and praise Him, the power of Almighty God came into that place. And they were loosened. That's the power of God, people. Don't lose hope in your God. Don't lose hope in a situation. Don't lose hope in circumstances. Don't lose hope. Because if you lose hope, that's the end. The devil wants you to lose hope. But let me tell you, there's hope in your God. There's hope in your God that He can change circumstances around. That's the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
And let me tell you, we know this, that our God will not allow anything to come our way that He's not in charge of. Praise God. That if I wake up tomorrow and everything's destroyed, I know my God is still in control. Not that it doesn't hurt. Because old flesh hurts. Not that it doesn't hurt. But our faith is still in our God. And Daniel talks about, and I know I've talked a little bit about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My God. Those three guys. They came to that area, that land, as slaves. They were put in charge of certain areas. God can change any situation around. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And there's a sermon in that right there, man. God is wanting to strengthen us, people. We shall run and not get weary. We shall walk and not faint. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my God. As the trumpets blew, the king said, "Bow to my God." They knew it was coming. And they stood. Let's say you're in the midst of 1,000 people. Somebody blows a trumpet and says, bow to your knees. Get on your knees. And only 3 people stay standing. And after a while, they can see you from afar, as you're standing. See, all God expects of us is to obey Him. And He will help us to stand firm in the things of God. The king got so mad at these three guys that he heated up the furnace, I think, seven times stronger than what it was before. They bound, they said, get the mighty men. Not just men. The mighty men of strength and power to bind their hands and their feet. That means he wanted to make sure that they could not get loose. He wanted to make sure that their death would come quickly. That they could not try to stop it somehow, some way with their hands and their feet. Because when something comes at you, somebody's throwing a football or a baseball and you know it's coming towards your face, you're gonna put your hand with a glove or your hand to catch it. You're gonna protect yourself. But they were gonna try to protect themselves too. Somehow, some way. But they knew. He said, take these mighty men and wrap them up, your hands and feet. And they threw them in to the furnace. People, it's an amazing thing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know what was going to happen. But let me tell you, through the fire, we know who our God is. When fire rises up and the furnace is heated stronger than ever before, God shows us who He is and how He can come through. And always remember, as the fire is heated up, that God is with you. My God, He's with you. He didn't leave you on the other side of the mountain, and He's somewhere else. But He's with you. He's with me. And they look. The king looks in there and says, there's another man. Was it three that we put in there? Yes, it's confirmed. It was three. Well, man, there's another man in there, and he looks like the Son of Man. My God, people, when you're in the fiery furnace, your God is going to be with you. When I'm in the fiery furnace, my God is with me. We're on the mountaintops, our God is with us. When we're in the valleys, God is with us, people. That's the kind of God we serve, that never, never, get it in your heart, never forsakes His children. The devil will try to tell us that God will forsake us, that God will leave us alone, that God doesn't care about us, that God doesn't care about us as a father or a mother or whatever, that God has forsaken us. But that is not truth. The truth is God cares about His people, and He takes care of His people, His children. That's the power of Almighty God. What God can do, what God can do. And I bet you this, and I didn't really say, you'll have to say this is me. They in that furnace know that Jesus comes in like the Son of Man and unwraps them. I wish I could have been there. But you have to go through the fire to be in the fire to see that God is over the fire.
Amen.
Can you imagine as a son? I think honestly, now this is just me, okay? The Son of Man was already with me. Just with me. The three guys didn't know what was going to happen. They threw him in, and Jesus is with them. They come in, and He just starts taking the ropes off their hands and feet. And all of a sudden, they just seize the Son. They start shouting, praising Him, honoring Him. For He is a God that can let you go through a fire. But when you don't even smell like fire, when you come out, you go through the fire, you're not singed. You go through the fire, you're not hurt. You go through the fire, and God's power is manifested in your heart and in your life like never, ever before. That's the power of Almighty God. They took them out. Do you think they wanted to come out? Oh, no. Have you ever been in a place where you just felt the presence of God and you don't want it to stop? With the singing and the preaching of the gospel. You don't want it to stop because the power of Almighty God is there. And you want to sit and feel Him like He's doing at this moment. The power of Almighty God. You don't want it to stop. Because he gives hope to his people. He gives hope to his people.
It's, like,
Matthew chapter 16, I think it's verse 18. Why don't you put that scripture up? Matthew 16. I want to put, I want to get it right. Talking about the gates of hell. Shall not prevail. Look at it. And I say it also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock is Jesus. The rock is the cross of Calvary. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And let me tell you this, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God.
Amen.
You know what that means? Victory! Victory! Victory in your home! Victory in your life, victory in everything you do, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Who's the church? We're the church. We're the body of Christ. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God renews the strength of the church. My God, he died for the church. He renews the strength of the church. The devil's out there trying to destroy the church in any capacity, in any way he can, bringing down of scriptures and watering it down to trying to stop the presence of Almighty God. But let me tell you, there's a God that says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church ever. He died for the church. He died for you. That means he will not allow the enemy to overtake your life.
Amen.
It will not prevail against the church. May that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The power of God. I can give example after example in scriptures. You can probably think of a lot of stuff too where the power of God came in. How God came into Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How God talked to Paul and Silas. My God. That's the power of God. Look. There isn't anything in this world that can destroy the church. The true church I'm talking about. I said, why do you know that? Because Jesus died for the church and has already said it is finished. And he already won already. Look, you've already won. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not feeling like I'm winning, but that's okay. You've already won. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith in who he is. We don't live by feelings. You know? How we feel, we don't live like that. We live by the Spirit of the living God that works in us and through us. That's the power of Almighty God. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Don't turn away from that time of spending with him. Because the devil will try to take you away from that time. Because this is what he tries to do. We talk about how God brings us with him. He's right in the middle. Every time you open that word, and you read, you might say, man, sometimes I open it up and I don't get a thing. You're still breaking it up. You might think you're not getting something, but you are. Every time you pray and seek the face of God, you know, it could be in your home, in your car, or wherever, anywhere, you're just talking with him. You're breaking your life with God. And any time or any day that we decide, well, that's enough, and I'm not going to do that anymore, the braid starts to come undone. And in the undoing of the braid, it breaks. And destruction comes to that person unless they turn back to God and repent and ask God to move. See, the devil doesn't want you to spend time with God because he knows he's defeated every time you do. He wants us to be so busy that we don't have time for God. We just do other things. But God wants us to take that time that we can spend with him. 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And look, honestly, probably every one of us, we talk to God throughout the day. I mean, I know at times in my bed, just turning over, sleeping, I'll say, Father, forgive me. And sometimes I wake up and go, what am I to forgive us? You know? It's like I'm just turning over and say, Father, I love you. Or I'll pray about the church, you know, just in sleeping. It's on my mind. Just praying for individuals, things that I know, you know, just praying specifically and in general. People, I want to tell you this. Jelaine and I pray for every one of you. Some specifically when we know certain things. But I tell you, we pray for you generally. We pray for the whole church every night together. Whatever two shall agree upon the earth, it shall be done. And we pray and we intercede and ask God to move upon situations. Because we know there are certain things we cannot do, but only an intervention by the Spirit of the living God that He can change that situation around. You're important to us. You're important to God. And we want to see God move in your heart and life and change your life and to be what God wants you to be upon this earth. That when you close your eyes for the last time, you can say, I did what God wanted. Oh, can you imagine? To have that fulfillment that I lived to be whatever age and I fulfilled what God wanted. That's important. Isaiah 40:31. Bring that scripture back up, please. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Talking about us, we're waiting on the Lord. They shall, or the church, or you as an individual, shall mount up with wings as eagles. And there's another, they may, whatever we, they shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. As we take that time with the Lord and let Him move through our hearts and minds, you may stand for the Sabbath.